this is the one thing about corruption that I'll never understand. Is it that that many people just don't have a moral compass? Like, how do you get in that position and you say, hey, I'm gonna do the bare minimum for you guys, but for me and mine, I'm taking it to the max.
We're at the best time we have
ever
been
in history.
To actually make impact in reversing what has happened to us.
What's going on, people? What's going down? What's going on? Sakwase.
Sakwase.
Baoni, that's like Yoruba.
Yoruba. That's another one.
What's Ngoni is Madi.
Abarigani.
Abarigani, Swahili. What else? How do you say it in Wolof?
Wolof, Nakam, Nangadef.
For like everybody, for people.
I would say just say Nakam.
Nakam.
Nangadef is like
bonjour.
It's like very formal. I just say Nakam.
Nakam. Yay cool.
Yangi cool.
Yay cool boy. Yo, what's going on, people?
Hell nah.
I'm your man, DJ Anzo.
Amazon.
Over here with the man with the most, Uncle E.
Come on.
If you don't know who he is, stop playing. Welcome, yo. This is the Jola Mr. Madi podcast, TJMTM. If you don't know who we are, we're two young African millennials just canoeing through this thing called life, trying to edutain you on all things African, African culture, food, whatever it is
history,
you need to know,
music
history, the whole nine. This is the podcast for you. So if you're a first time listener, welcome from wherever you are. And for our returning listeners, we appreciate you and thank you. The reason we're doing this is for you guys. As we said,
always,
we're trying to edutain you. So here we are. What's going on down, bro?
You know, I keep saying it, slicing and dicing, as always. Like
styling profiling.
It's a must.
Keeping it P.
Keeping it P, bringing in the Amazon Prime packages, as always. We ain't playing this season. We subscribe to Prime membership, guys.
You know,
so
we're moving like young Jeff out here, bro.
Come on.
You're not playing. You got to tell the people, man, because too many people in the comments have been asking, where do you get your shirts?
Man.
One, the 100%, the, what is it? Like legalized
blackness.
And then the trads, where do you get them?
No, I'm going to, I think we'll shout out to legalized blackness.
Mm-hmm.
I went to Amazon kind of black business, I would say like just a fair type of deal. And there was this like smart entrepreneur there, and having the legalized blackness, it just promotes was selling a lot of shirts that kind of promote as positive and uplifting to black people. And I really resonated with it. And
yeah,
you know, I shout out, and she did actually repost us. So we'll make sure to give a shout out.
For sure.
To her.
Yeah.
And then, yeah, the fits, it's the siblings, man. They just hook me up. I have like the most amazing big brothers and sisters, and they always got me with the fits. They got me right.
The people want to know, for those who don't have tailors.
You got to have tailors, my boy.
That give you the, they promise 7-day delivery, but they deliver it 2 months later.
Look, shipments always pending with some payments with some tailors.
Nah, African tailors are mad, bro. Like, I don't know. I guess all the tailors I've had are back home. Nah.
Always late.
Oh, I can order something right now, and I won't even be able to pick it up in December. It's mad.
Good luck.
It's mad. It's
good
mad.
Luck.
It's mad. But nah, today actually, kind of along the lines of sourcing. I wanted to talk about natural resources back home.
Yeah.
As we know, Africa is probably is the richest continent in the world as far as natural. Yet the poorest, but it is the richest as far as natural resources go. Anything. It spans from oil, gas, minerals, timber.
Everything.
Anything you could think of, I think, is available or mostly available. Even vibranium, but we haven't released it yet.
Yeah, that one y'all can't find out.
Can't find
vibranium
it,
is
Yet the poorest, bro. Yes. Let's dissect that. Given one, right? Nigeria, Angola, Algeria, Libya. All these countries particularly famous for oil and gas reserves, right?
Yep.
Some of the biggest companies in the world all set up shop there, right?
Yes.
The Chevrons, the Shells, the Exxons. Is BP out there?
Probably.
Probably out
BP,
there.
I know they do off the Gulf of Mexico.
The Gulf of Mexico, yeah.
But
nonetheless, these are some of the most profitable brands in the world, right?
Billions of dollars in revenue. ARR, too.
Very, very high. I was going to throw out the trillions, but I'm not going to say that. But I think collectively
combined,
it gets up there.
$1 trillion.
Collectively, it gets up there. How is it, bro? Like, did you see Burna Boy's documentary on whiskey?
No, I did not.
So he brought to light something that was happening in Port Harcourt, which is like, there's this like tar, this black tar that essentially just sits in the air.
Yep.
Right?
So pollution.
And pollution from oil mining. Yeah, the people doing it are going home to their fancy luxury apartments.
Yes.
and fancy homes sitting wherever it is.
No, Hampton Beach homes.
Right? Mm-hmm. The Hamptons, the Malibus, yes, all these guys. They're living life, right?
Yep.
How is it that we ended up there, bro?
How did Africa end up being exploited by multinational companies extracting our resourcing?
But yeah, it's a rhetorical question, but for those who don't know.
It's a multitude of reasons, but I would say one of the biggest contributing factors is no other than the old African man, aka our leaders.
Mm-hmm. Speak on it.
The greed from our African leaders and their governments in looking out for themselves first and how they can profit off of having these companies come in and extract our resources at the cost of the environment that you talk about, the health of the community,
mm-hmm.
and just having poverty, exploiting cheap labor, inhumane working conditions, child labor in return for Western capitalist profit and revenue.
Mm-hmm.
At the end of the day, I always say, who is allowing these companies to come in to said African company,
mm-hmm.
identify its resources, extract its resources, give little to none to the communities,
mm-hmm.
come back, take those resources, go and build whatever the final product is for the Western world and make billions of dollars in profit. And those African countries don't even get maybe 1% of the profits.
Yeah.
Port Harcourt Delta area, imagine if they got 1% of the profit from either Shell or whoever's their Exxon. Because who allows that? Maybe that 1% is being given, but it's going into government officials. So it's just a sad tale of leaders and people in the government getting enriching themselves over the local people who live in those environments, who work in those factories, getting nothing in
for
return.
For context, right? I think they're still finding Sani Abacha's money.
It's unlimited. You think like, Pablo had money? Go and check some of these African dictators.
I think they're still finding Sani Abacha's money. Like, I think that it was so hidden, they don't even know where that money went. Like, that's how bad it is. But building off that, bro, the corruption back home is so... I don't know how to put a word to it. But for PG's sake, I'll say, how short-sighted can one be, right? How short-sighted can you be that, like, you're in a position of power, bro, leading a nation? This is not when you're leading your school group project. You're not leading a small team of the, you're leading an entire nation, right? In whatever respect it may be. Maybe you're the minister of finance, maybe you're the minister of education, whatever the case may be. How short-sighted can you be that you're in a public position, right? And you think, let me put myself first. and the rest of these millions of people who I see around starving or, you know, drenched in poverty, they can deal with it. And you're in a public position, man. Like this is the one thing about corruption that I'll never understand. Is it that many people just don't have a moral compass? Like, how do you get in that position and you say, hey, I'm going to do the bare minimum for you guys, but for me and mine, I'm taking it to the max. You see, in America here, it's like, if I see a legislator misbehaving, I'm like, all right, well, infrastructural wise, America, like, people can take advantage of certain things, right? At this point in time, obviously, there's still a very big imbalance in power, and that needs to be addressed. But the greater majority of Americans have a what we would call a comfortable life.
Yes, compared to the average person.
To the average person in Africa. Yeah. And so...
very much more comfortable life.
It's like we're back home and these people in positions of power are looking at everybody else and saying, I'm going to enjoy these luxuries, but you guys don't deserve them. Let's keep it pushing. Like, that has never made sense to me about corruption. Like, that it's... and it's so ingrained into our culture, we don't even think about it. I mean, obviously we think about it, but like, it's so normalized at this point.
Yeah, we just talk about it, complain about it, highlight it, and at the end of the day...
it just remains.
It remains.
Right.
It remains. And while it remains, it works out extremely well.
Extremely well
for those. For those Western multinational companies who come in and extract. It's an easy way of business if you only have to compensate one leader. Mm-hmm. To go and enrich yourself, you know, from a business standpoint.
Do you think it's a lack of exposure, or like what's the issue there?
It's just, again, if we look at it from a historical standpoint, it begins with from even during slavery time, right? Mm-hmm. The European, the Westerner, the Oyibo man always found effective ways to either manipulate or convince or bribe, right? The African leader, whether it was the king, the president now, whoever was the decision maker of the territory's resources, before it was clearly humans, and now raw materials, mineral resources, they always found effective ways of fanning them, enriching in them, basking them in so much riches that the overall effects to the general people, it wouldn't matter.
Yep.
It's always happened. It happened during slavery time, pre-colonialism even, as well. A lot of kings, kingdoms that cooperated is as a result of that.
Yep.
So I see...
And we know...
this is a 600-plus-year question.
And we know that those who try to go against that, what happens to them?
Guess what happened? You get Maxim gunned, you get...
too many
anonymously
examples.
Cool,
you know,
the CIA will come in, you get a Libya situation,
you get a Congo with Patrice Lumumba,
yeah,
Sankara in Burkina Faso.
Like, we have to realize that at the end of the day, that's what it is. Those leaders are indebted to the Western powers,
yeah,
who require cooperation from those African leaders in exchange for you can remain in the position you are, as long as you're allowing us to keep coming and getting what we need to build iPhones, computers, get you that Snickers bar.
And we're going to give you the worst price possible, yes, for all that. It's crazy, man. It's really crazy.
So by the time it comes back to Africa, mm-hmm, where that cocoa comes from, for example, mm-hmm, goes... now it comes back worth 4, 5, 6, 10+ times mm-hmm its original value, and we buy it at that price. Mm-hmm. Come on.
Here's another thing that frustrates me is, like, as Africans, people are not dumb, right? People are, in fact, some African school systems I find are probably some of the best in the world as far as the rigor of,
yes,
the curriculum, right? But how is it that... those people get into positions of power, right? And then still have the short-sightedness in not recognizing influence they have, right? So I give you an example. In Uganda, all the roads that we have that are good now were not built by Ugandans. But they're all outsourced.
The Chinese.
The Chinese, the Lebanese. I think the Australians came in at a certain point, and maybe the Spanish, right? Simple economics, right? If I pay you and we're living in the same community, that dollar gets recycled, right? You'll go pay the barber to get your yep. haircut. You'll go pay whoever, right? If I go pay somebody from outside the community, right? They're going to say, thank you very much. And so dip.
Sayonara.
And where's all that money going back? Well, not back home. It's going to Australia. It's going to China. It's going to Lebanon.
Yep.
Right? Because
it's going to India.
Because people are too short-sighted to see the opportunity that we have in that. And it's not like we lack the knowledge or the resources to do said things. It's just like, again, the corruption holding us
down.
Well,
if you want to do something or take any initiative, typically you face resistance because you're trying to break the status quo of enriching those who are enjoying the benefits by being in their position of power, typically in the government. So if you wanted to come in from a proper moral compass, from an ethical standpoint, you're not allowed to do so because you're trying to break the system yeah. that is benefiting the one percenters.
Yep. And
it's a life and death matter sometimes.
Oh, no, definitely. Yeah, so a lot of the times.
Yeah, a lot of the times. So
here's my question, right? Yep. Last season, I think we had a question similar to this, and you said, yo, we need to get these grandpas, these old pas, all these guys to the office, right? How do you feel about that?
It's today? Still the same. It's still the same. I don't always like to use the African leader excuse to blame them for all our problems. I think as a people from our civil society as well, we need more structure,
oh, yeah.
more accountability, and more unity in terms of not fostering either tribal agendas, political affiliations, to kind of fight at that grassroots levels instead of understanding how to change the whole structure. But again, you also have to look at the capacity of our leaders who has been there, especially for a while. What benefit have they provided for their people after being there 20, 40 years plus? Little to none.
Yep.
So my case is they have to go. And seems like I'm crying wolf.
But I mean, people also don't understand the effectiveness of a good leader.
Well, when we had the opportunities to have those good leaders, they were always suppressed or yeah. removed
yeah.
by those Western powers of influences. If you want to be a good leader in Africa, I think you have to be a Pan-Africanist. You have to almost be anti-West
mm-hmm.
if you really want to be a patriotic, true to your people leader. And that is hard to do.
It's very hard to do.
When, if Exxon or, you know, all of these big multinational companies are relying on your natural resources mm-hmm. to enrich themselves, they will go above and beyond to make sure that you are in cooperation.
Yeah.
So it's very tough to do.
I mean, it's not exactly what happened in the 70s with Gaddafi. Like, I think he skyrocketed the price of oil.
Yeah.
Maybe not even skyrocketed, but he raised the price of oil.
Yeah.
And that's, I think, was it in the 70s? It was probably later in the 90s. And I think that's when the relationship turned sour. So now the West is like, oh, you're playing with us. Like, man, them wanted to have, like, the United States of Africa.
Pretty much.
You know?
I'm telling you that it hasn't worked for us historically. It hasn't. So I don't have the solutions, but I think it is
someone does.
Yeah.
More natural resources. Let me read you some stats, right? Timber. Congo, Gabon, Cameroon have vastly forested land, particularly multinational companies such as Weyerhaeuser and Sappi have operations in these countries.
You don't sound African.
I've never heard of a Weyerhaeuser in Africa. Extracting and processing timber for
timber.
For use in construction, furniture, and paper products. Africa is the world's largest producer of cocoa, with countries such as Ivory Coast, I like to say Cote d'Ivoire, Ghana, Nigeria being major suppliers. Multinational companies such as Nestle, Mars, and Hershey's have significant operations in these countries, buying cocoa from the farmers and processing it into chocolate and other products.
So let me ask you quickly, Andrew.
Yeah.
Based on what you're saying, what are those top five natural resources being extracted from Africa?
Right now?
Right now.
Coffee, cocoa, timber, minerals, which goes from gold, diamonds, copper, platinum, anything along those lines, oil and gas.
And all of those are being extracted primarily by multinational companies coming from
where? The West. If specifically the Europe and the United States.
And America.
Yeah.
So our top five natural resources in Africa are almost, you could say, 80% plus being extracted by multinational companies in Europe and America.
Not only are they being extracted.
We haven't even talked about China.
Hey boy, like we have, not only are they extracted, they're also processed outside of Africa. So, you know, the economics of, for those who don't know, when you process a raw material, that is when you get the most value out of it. Raw materials and their most natural elements.
Yeah, you get it from the earth or natural, yeah.
You can't do a whole lot with it, but once I take, for example, take a cashew nut, right? Once I have a cashew nut in my hand, I'm not going to do much. Once it's processed, I can sell it for $12 a can, right?
Yep.
Versus it's maybe even $12 for a ton, something like that.
And so, raw, yep.
And it's raw material. So
so the value is going 5 to 10 times more by processing.
Significantly. So, we're being stripped of all that.
But what is happening as a result? They're using our environment.
Mm.
It's our environment that's being destroyed. Our trees being cut. Minefields, oil extraction.
Yeah.
So what benefit has there been for the common African country besides if you take away the leaders and the governments?
Zero.
If anything, the African consumer gets to buy it.
A big resounding
back
zero.
From those Western multinational companies at
unreasonable prices.
At unreasonable prices.
They don't even match the economic outfit of the buyer.
So you come from Ghana or Cote d'Ivoire and you buy like a Hershey's bar.
Mm.
So that Hershey's bar, that cocoa was taken in its raw form from your country, at maybe, if I'm even lucky, for one of those, probably less than 10 cents.
Mm-hmm.
And you go and buy it for $2, $3.
Mm-hmm.
How can we remain, how we remain poor and how we become almost like dependent on the consumption of these Western European made products that were, if it wasn't for our own natural resources, they wouldn't exist.
You know, something crazy too is, I don't know if you guys have this in Gambia, but inside the mind of a consumer as well, outside is always better. So back home, like niggas will take girls to KFC and that's a date.
I know what you mean.
Rather buy the outside product versus
their own.
Does that happen back home?
Happens. Yeah.
So with us, like, same thing. KFC, the Domino's. We don't have McDonald's there, but Pizza Hut, you know,
is valued higher than
much
local
more than
business.
The local business or the local whatever product is. Which is that we need to get inside of the mind of the consumer there, because you come here, Yeah, you have people like, oh, this is Ferragamo, this is Gucci. But there's a lot of people who are like, no, this is made in the USA and we're proud of that.
Yep.
So unless you're economically benefiting from something else being processed outside of your country, then I don't understand how the mindset becomes, oh, I'm exclusive because I eat KFC. Like,
no, yeah, I agree what you mean. And all of these, you talk about cocoa, I'm pretty sure the Ghanaian made chocolate companies probably will need way more support. Mm-hmm. Like, they should be the flagship for any candy or any chocolate that
very
would
much
be.
So.
But I'm sure they have to compete with the European and American brands.
I think you do, but man, if you have like a dope grassroots movement or even a dope concept back home, it'll catch fire, bro. There's many examples of that actually happening as well. I'll give you a specific example. There's a brand I really like out of Ghana. It's called Free the Youth.
Free the Youth?
Yeah, they do streetwear stuff.
Okay.
I knew of them when they were still like a grassroots movement in Ghana. Mm. They're now like all the Afrobeat celebrities wear Free the Youth.
Mm-hmm.
Whole bunch of it's like it's grown to bigger than just in Ghana, right? They opened up a flagship store in Ghana, and I'm like, oh, all these chalets were there, like repping Free the Youth. Now look where Free the Youth is, right? The founders are doing extremely well.
That's collabing. How it should be.
They collabed with R.I.P. Virgil, but Virgil Abloh before he passed away, they collabed with him. They've collabed with Daily Paper, a whole bunch of stuff. So I'm like, yo, this is the blueprint. Like,
that's the blueprint. That's how it should be.
Why don't y'all rep? You know what you saw? Like,
it's an opportunity. Like I said, if we talk about all these natural resources being available in Africa, and it's clearly not coming in at all to the black community, even for Africans or black people in the diaspora, from a business standpoint, it is also an opportunity to go back and invest or establish some of those businesses or industries that, you know, it should be supported by a community. I also look at it as an opportunity for us to go back and also get our piece of the pie.
Yeah.
Because otherwise, nothing will return back to the community.
Right, right. And I think it's also important to highlight, I think something that people don't understand is small business turns into big business, right? The jewelry makers who are, you know, using gold, using platinum, encourage them.
Mm-hmm.
The tailors who are making your textiles,
yep,
encourage them. That is the business of the community, right? The potters, the people who are working with ceramics and stuff, encourage them, because eventually somebody out of there is going to have that $1 million idea, and now, boom, we have an industry. So, I think people don't understand, like, and I think also, to be fair, exposure helps, because when you've seen how the dollar can come back into your own community, you wanna like put your people. I think most people want to put their people on. So, yeah, man, it's mad to say the least. But here's a question for you, right? How do we ensure that our future generations of Africans, right, are equipped with the knowledge of what's going on and equipped with the how to navigate that space and eventually come out of it? Because I don't think we're coming out of that space in our generation.
It starts with education. And we need to provide them the knowledge and the education from the right source. Meaning it has to be information provided by us, Africans or black people, to provide to our next generation that this is what we have available, these are the resources, and this is what happened in the past where we weren't able to get any benefits from the resources. It typically went to the Western world. But if the education is given or is being driven by, again, Western media, schools, curriculums, that why would they inform the, you know, young black person that, hey, in Africa or where you're from, these are all the resources that are available. This is what you can do with it, having a processing plant. these are how you can actually maximize from those natural resources and build your own businesses, industries that will actually, you will have be invested in protecting the environment, making sure people in the community are also having economic prosperity from that. Why would they do that? Mm-hmm. That means that that affects their bottom line. Mm-hmm. Why would they do that? Mm-hmm. So I always say, like, I think we need to also start really researching and looking at the right sources for education, material, and information on all industries. From us, like, written by people like who look like us, who yeah. understand the other agenda, what they're sending, and then just spread that material to the yeah. future generation. I think the source is very important. A lot of people, we always see, even Black people, always using Western media or, you know, resources to try and use to justify. I'm like, if your source comes from the people who are exploiting us, what makes you think that's going to be something that will be of value?
Where's the honesty in that, right?
Yeah. That's what I think. It's yeah. the source of where the information is coming from. It can no longer be from European and American based sources.
Yeah. Particularly those of the descent from the Caucasus Mountains.
Yes, yeah. It cannot be. Because look, we talked about this last episode, us going up in school under British education system. We follow Cambridge. So our English, math, history is all per their curriculum from primary school all the way to secondary school. I know there's a West African, the WISE, there's a West African like exam board or education board. Mm-hmm. But let's talk about where their resources and material is really coming from. Mm-hmm. They haven't updated it. They haven't quote unquote Africanized our educational curriculum to actually show as Black people what our journeys have been and also educate us to actually think first what we can do with the knowledge we attain, mm-hmm. how we can use it for us first. Mm-hmm. It's typically centered around here's the information you need to then go abroad to Western Europe and America to get further education. And typically that is what is deemed how you can better your life.
Precisely.
That's premier.
Precisely.
But it's never centered around you looking exactly into Africa and based on the knowledge you have, how can we use that to actually invest and build? That's what I think.
Yeah. I think, you know how we talk about spiritual cleansing when we go back home, right? Mm-hmm. Is there a feeling that has ever replicated that for you?
Spiritual cleansing?
Yeah.
Where?
Outside of Africa?
No.
It's always been back home, right?
Yeah, of course.
I'll give you my answer on this, but for you, why do you think that is?
Why do you think that is?
Yeah. Let me tell you why I think.
Mm-hmm.
So for me, my ancestors, that's where I'm closest to them, right? And so when I'm on ground there, I can touch the earth and stuff. I feel like there's no feeling that can ever replicate that. And so I feel it's my duty and I owe to them the responsibility of not only paying it forward, but really setting up not only myself, but the future generations for success, right? I think we've already started to do so in a sense, but I think for me it's critical that whatever we leave, whatever our legacy is, and legacy is a funny word to use, but whatever is left of us has to be a stepping stone for the next generations, right?
Absolutely.
That's why I ask you, has anywhere else in the world ever replicated that feeling? And for me, it's no. Because when I'm back home, like, I don't know, man. It's almost like you're in your ancestral plane in Black Panther. And you're talking to your
the
people.
The spirit of the Black Panther, you feel it.
Yeah, you feel that.
And no, I know what you mean. It's an indescribable feeling.
So it's like,
It's an indescribable feeling. And that's why we always advocate, like, to our Africans, non-Africans, Black people or the diaspora. I always advocate, please go back to Africa. Go back. There's just something, there's a certain feeling of, I don't know what it is, maybe it could be spiritual or just the body just knows that you're in the land where your ancestors like walked on this land.
Mm.
And yes, we're living their wildest dreams, but also what current opportunity do we have right now to reverse what has happened to our ancestors the last 300, 400, 500 years? We're at the best time right now to actually have the resources to reverse.
And the know-how as
well. The know-how.
Yeah.
But for some reason, we fail to unite. That's why even when we talk about diaspora wars, Africans, this, that, leaders, I'm like, dang. I want to, you know, of course, colonialism, imperialism, white supremacy, all of these things are still affecting us. But let's be real. We're at the best time ever in history to actually make impact in reversing what has happened to us. We have now have millionaires, billionaires with this. In Africa, in America, in Europe, all over the world, we have now the knowledge. We have the skill sets. We have the experience. We're like so talented. And typically, we're always giving it to everyone but our own people, us, because we fail to unite. And if we try to do the right thing, our own people fight us. So that's what I'm saying. Like, man, we're missing out. We're really missing out.
You know, it's mad because you say that because that I can't understand it, man. And of course, like, I understand both sides and blah, blah, yeah, but I can't understand how we're still
it's
here.
It's hard to tolerate it, right?
It's so hard. I can't tolerate it.
You know, we act like things were like less than 100 years ago. We go to 1960s. In Africa, you had people, me and you, if we were in Africa in the 1960s and we were any sort of leaders, we're fighting to get our independence.
Yeah.
From the Oyibo man.
Yeah.
And if you're in America, you're fighting for your civil rights.
Civil rights.
Those are happening concurrently. In America, you're fighting for decent rights.
Yeah.
It's happened. We're simultaneously going through a struggle, like just for your basic human rights.
Yeah.
And because of all those people, we've progressed so far that we actually now are at a place where we can actually make impact in reversing.
Yeah.
And the only thing we really need is unity.
Yeah.
But we refuse.
It's wild how you can want to regress, bro. As a people, like,
we're like, this is regression mentality. You know, we're talking about our natural resources.
Yeah.
We both have iPhones. This is a MacBook Pro.
Yeah.
It has cobalt in it.
Yeah.
If Congo didn't have this natural resource, this would have either cost four times more or it's not going to be as available.
Right.
We use it every day, the devices. We eat chocolate. This wood furniture that you see.
Yeah.
We drive that oil and gas. What's heating us? We use all of these things daily.
Timber house. Like.
And all of these people are getting it from our own land.
Yeah.
And we're just sitting there here, you know, talking about it, saying Exxon, Shell, I don't know the other name from Germany. Man, I wish these were companies.
Yeah.
African, we're talking about like African companies or companies run by Black people. So that's what I always say, like, hey, if you're either you're African or you're from the diaspora, like, please, like, if you have even reach out to us, or we're going to try and look up for people who are willing to come up with solutions.
Yeah.
Because let's be honest, we're at our best time.
Yeah.
That's how I always feel like it. Like, we're at the best time. We're seeing self-starters in Black people.
The best time was yesterday, bro.
Yeah, facts.
You know, the best time was yesterday, but we can't allow us to lose time as well. That would be a cardinal sin right there. Like, I hope by the time we're old men walking around drinking our tea, there's been There's been some change.
We hope so. And yeah, you know, well, what are you guys doing? You guys are just here talking. No, we're telling you, like, think a little bit deeper and let's try and see how we can consolidate our knowledge,
mm-hmm.
our skills, our resources mm-hmm. to benefit
yeah.
us. Because that's what every other community does.
Right.
That's what every other country that is not full of people like us,
mm-hmm.
that's what we call successful, developed. That's what they do.
Yeah.
They do it ruthlessly. They do it at our expense.
You think...
We do. So that's the mindset we need to have.
It's mad, bro.
We should be collective and ruthless and unapologetic, as you mentioned, in supporting our own.
Yeah.
But we don't. We don't support our brands. We don't support our businesses.
Yeah.
We don't support people who are trying to make change in our communities.
Mm-hmm.
We often don't.
And for the record, you and I do, but collectively, that's where it lacks.
And yeah, it has to change, I think. And we're at the best time. And if you identify as such, again, we're all in the same bucket. Ivan and I are not the experts.
Yeah.
We're always trying to find people who are doing impactful stuff to our community.
Yeah.
And how can we support them, spread awareness? So if you do know people, businesses, communities, please let us know and we'll do our part in learning and see how we can support.
Our platform is also built to highlight that.
Yeah, literally.
Is this a Gambian tailor?
It's Gambian tailor.
Gambian tailor. This sweatshirt was made by a Zambian man. My t-shirt, you can't see it. It was made by an African-American man. My hat was made by a Haitian man.
We're wearing it. You see us.
So the moral of the story there is, look, we are going to give you guys a platform. We are going to champion you. We are going to support you in your business. My challenge to all of our serial entrepreneurs out there is do the thing. Make that first step, right? Like we said, ChatGPT earlier. Yep. The longest journey starts with what?
One single step.
Just do it. Just do the work. Keep your head down. When you eventually pick your head up and see where you're at, you can say thank you later. But yo, call to action. Anyone with a big idea, anyone with a small idea, anyone with any sort of idea, put it into work. You know, take your idea, put it into motion. Turn that potential into kinetic. Get the ball rolling. Let's see what happens. Let's see what happens in a year. Let's see what happens in 2 years. If you want to start building computers, do it. If you have an idea for a software that somebody either has invented or has not, start it. If you have a development plan for urban development, just do it. Back home, yep. Here, wherever you are, if you have the call or if you have the a will to do something, make that first step.
100%.
And we will be right there with you along that journey. Keep us updated.
100%.
We're right there for it.
We will be. And even as we need to change our mindset as the consumer.
Mm-hmm.
We value these high-end European fashion brands to such a high level.
Mm-hmm.
We put this image of success and what how it looks on our bodies
mm-hmm.
associated with Western brands, clothing companies, what we consume on our everyday products or wear so much. Man, like, do you think, like, what if we even just change a little bit of our mindset? And if you can't change your full habit, just make a little effort.
Yeah.
And if you're seeing that Black-owned business, just go in and check. First, are they really Black-owned? Understand that journey you mentioned from that idea, that story. And you don't need to go ham, but just that visibility.
Yeah.
Subscribe to that email. If you're short on money, you can. I'm pretty sure you have like $20 to buy one small item, just a little support.
That's
because
support
it's a little
way,
bit
bro.
Of that. It starts building. We need to start doing that. We need to start looking and being purposeful in identifying black businesses, companies. Firstly, you need to validate, of course, like if it's quality, their product or their service, if it's worth your money. We're not saying just because it's black owned business, you can, you know, because when you talk about that as well, you can either have something that doesn't have a value proposition to you. But if it does, if I find a black owned business or company that is offering a value proposition that is the same to me as that either mainstream popular one that is not black owned, really?
Come on. Easy.
Come on.
Easy answer.
Come on.
Easy answer there.
Let's start changing that mindset. I don't care if, you know, if you tell me that, oh man, you got that brand name that is European, you got that Fendi, Balenciaga, Gucci. I'm not saying, no, it's not dope. It's cool. Like, bro, yeah, it looks good. Balenciaga shirt, all that looks good, but that's cool. But how about if I'm talking about that one black owned one that is probably the better quality, same one? Yeah. I think that's the real flex.
That's the flex, bro. That's the ultimate flex. That's the ultimate flex. And that's what it's about.
That's ultimately. What it's about. That's what I'm investing. You know, that's where I'm trying to do.
That's exactly where the Mandem are rolling. I have this dream of one day opening a school, but all the people that go there, they only wear like African treads.
So. Yes.
No, for the uniforms,
no colonial
uniforms. We're wearing treads, bro. Like, that's it. So you come with your kente cloth or like whatever it may be. Like, we have
that suit and tie business. Nothing, what did fella say? I know, be gentleman at all. You know, that suit and tie is not for us, bro.
All that, bro. We're doing everything.
We're working on that. You know, I'm even struggling working on that. Like, I made the conscious efforts. Like, I'm going to minimize where I wear suits. Mm-hmm. You know, like, I'm going to wear as much African print. I go to work, I try to wear that because I'm just like, even I'm working on it. It's a working progress for me.
And when we started going out, I'm like, I'm not gonna wear a suit. I'm gonna wear a senator suit.
Yeah,
you know what I'm saying, shit like that. So
anyway,
it's something about living in your passion, man. You just if you're a person of faith, or if you're just a person of strong will, come do what you were put here to do.
Yes.
And just do the thing. So, yeah, man, I think that's really all we had.
That's all we had.
Again, call to action. You serial entrepreneurs, just do the thing.
Do the thing. Let's change our mindset. We just, you know, talked about our resources from the motherland. You know, we have Tesla here, Elon Musk, lithium batteries. Mm-hmm. They all need all of these things.
Yep.
We don't get nothing for it. We pay them for it. Imagine that.
Yeah.
So, as I said, that's our call to action. And yeah.
And also, let's invest in those who are doing the things. People, let's not forget about them.
Factos.
So.
All right.
That was all we had. Once again, this has been the Jola Mr. Madi. Thank you all for joining us.
Yes.
As always, please don't forget to like, subscribe, comment.
If you made follow. It this far in the video, you're a real one.
You're a real one. Yep. And I mean, that's what our platform is all about. We're trying to highlight all that. And, you know, thank you guys for listening once again. We're signing out. Stay dangerous.
Peace.